Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Good evening and hi and hello and welcome everybody and happy party and happy Monday. It's the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show. My name is Keith, thank you for joining us. Our first clip tonight goes back to October 16th of 2008. When Chris tries to explain to us why his family and his city's mispronunciation of words is the way everyone should speak them, on the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show on HearUsTalk.com.
I guess I was just asking the question: would that ever pop into your head? Would you go back and get something like this done? Are you a take it? Are you a send it back kind of guy? If you drink wine and they give you a bad cup of a glass of wine, do you send it back?
By the way, our buddy TJ Newstyle points out that Brian pointed at a picture of Wayne from the Wonder Years and gladly tipped a fiver for a job well done.
I hate having to send stuff back. I do.
Yeah.
If there's a bug somewhere, that's one thing. But at that point, I'm probably going to leave though anyway. But I don't.
Yeah, this bug is gross. Bring me something else and try to
smaller,
keep the bugs out.
Smaller bug, if anything.
What about when you buy something too many? Like, say you're buying paint or spray paint, and you have like three cans, you only use two. Would you actually just go back to bring that third back, or does it just stay in your house?
If you look underneath my sink, there's just cans and cans of paint that will never be used because I won't bring it back.
Spray paint, you're going to go bomb in the next day, and you'll figure out a use for it. So there's absolutely no reason to return that.
I'm also lazy because I could get home and realize that, like, I was overcharged for something or I bought the wrong thing. That thing is just going to stay in my house. I'm not going to bring it back.
I get I order from my local pizzeria some mozzarella sticks or mozzarella, however you pronounce it correctly, Chris. And I ask...
Technically, you pronounced it correctly.
It's actually called sticks.
Mozzarella,
obviously.
Mozzarella.
Rob, you and I are gentlemen. And granted, I understand you have a pride in your heritage that I lack, but I know how to pronounce words. Mozzarella.
Gabagool. So I got some mozzarella sticks, and I asked for extra sauce, which was probably a mistake right there. I was like, hey, can I have an extra sauce for this? I'll pay for it. You know, don't worry about it. Just because I like sauce. I like to dip it in.
I'm good for it. I'll pay.
And when it showed up, there was no sauce, which kind of defeats the purpose of mozzarella sticks. Do you eat mozzarella sticks without sauce? I don't. They're a vehicle for sauce for me.
I can, but it's not going to be the same.
I didn't eat it, but I couldn't bring myself to calling him back to give me sauce.
As per my usual issue with Brian, it is not the vehicle for the sauce. I agree.
All right.
Mozzarella sticks are amazing with marinara sauce. Absolutely.
Stop it. You don't actually
marinara
say that.
Marinara sauce?
You don't actually say that.
You don't say marinara.
Metadata? No. All right, okay.
You do understand. Let me take it back a second. You do understand that in Italy, those words are pronounced with all the letters.
Yeah.
Mozzarella. It's not mozzarella, or whatever the hell they call
mozzarella.
It.
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella, or whatever the hell you're calling it.
All right. You guys can be stupid. All right, let's poke fun.
I understand. Prosciutto. Prajut.
Who said that?
Gabagool.
Who would ever say that word any way other than prosciutto? It's a B. Prosciutto, obviously.
It's a P.
If you actually go into a pizzeria where there's like a guy that's like probably been in America for like 5 minutes, he'll pronounce all the letters of the word.
And then I'll slash
the
his throat. I'll rip your throat out and slash his throat with it.
Chris, if you're watching the news and a girl goes, "Hi, this is Renee,"
she
goes
like this.
She goes, "Hi, this is Renee Gonzalez." Reporting from you, when they just go into that one little accented word, but every other speech is all their other speech is fine. Does that bother you at all?
Not at all. She's got pride. I got no problem with that.
But why do that little accent when she's speaking regular English and then she goes, "Hi, this is Renee."
Hello, Rodriguez. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fox News tonight. My name is...
That doesn't bother you at all? Did you just say Hardukin?
Marores.
I hate that.
It doesn't bother me. No.
Really?
Whatever. It means nothing.
Because you do
that. No. The fact is, my last name is fairly ethnic. And I don't care how it's pronounced.
Christopher Berjout.
No. But my last name is Schiavo, if you pronounce it the proper way. But I have people that call me Shivo. I have people that call me Chicago. I have people that call me Shavo. I don't care. Who cares? If your name means that much to you, that you want to do something and be like, whoa.
You have to put that accent on it?
Accent. Fine, go for it.
I get called Karn a lot, so I guess the E and the Y is silent as well.
I like prosciutto. Right. I just like prosciutto. And there's a goddamn pizzeria that makes the most delicious soup with beans and this leafy, spinachy vegetable that is spelled E-S-C-A-R-O-L-E.
Like what you do at your house.
And what was it, Rob Giggs?
Escaro.
No, see, you're stupid.
It's Scaro.
You're not Italian.
Escaro.
No, stop with the F.
Oh, it's pronounced...
Not Scarol.
It's Scarol.
Scarol.
Yeah, that's how I hear it.
Scarol and beans. And every time I call an order and say, yeah, give me a pie, a large pie, half mushroom. You're doing the Scarol and bean soup tonight? What?
Good for that guy.
Yeah.
The Scarol and bean soup. What? Sorry. Escarol and bean.
Yes.
Like I said, Scarol and bean. It's on your menu, and pronounce it, you son of a bitch.
Yes, granted, he should probably understand what it
is
you're talking about.
He is a 16-year-old girl.
She should probably understand. Good.
Well, of course she's hot.
Understand what it is you're saying, but still, you're mispronouncing it. You're mispronouncing the words. I don't understand having 8 extra letters at the end of a word that you're not going to pronounce. I don't understand.
8 extras? Which ones?
That's Chris's hobby. Putting vowels, extra vowels on words.
Scaro. Or take them out. Gabagol. Mortadel.
Brjut.
P-R-O. Oh, I'm sorry. No, excuse me. I'd like a hero.
Gabagol.
I want ham. I'd like some prosecutio on that. And if you get a chance, put some mortadella on.
Okay, I tell you what. Learn how to spell then. If it's brjut, make it B-R-A-J-U-T.
Prosecutio. Shut up.
Prosecutio.
Whatever, you're a Polish princess. Go away, Polish princess. Go eat kielbasa.
I'm okay with the S-C-I-U. If you want to pronounce it prosciutto, that's fine.
There you go.
If the O is not going to be pronounced, get the F out of there.
Prosciut. We abbreviate. My people abbreviate.
Do you call a pasta vazool?
Vajul.
I got news for you. You know what? I think I might have told this on the show in the past. My what is she? My stepmother. I was about to call her my mother-in-law.
That lady.
My stepmother, who is Irish she's as Irish as they come. She went to an Italian restaurant with my dad and ordered pasta fagioli.
That's great.
Pasta fagioli. Mmm. But you know that you can't say pasta fagioli, right? Even though those are all the letters, and you're complaining about.
But like to assume that somebody is going to walk into your place and not understand your crazy, whacked out, insane language.
I know, Scarol. Scarol. But I removed one letter. Escarol.
And that's fine. And again,
Escarol as opposed to Scarol.
And I'm saying that one I understand. Escarol. But all right, so how is the fagioli? How is that pronounced?
Pasta fagioli.
Fazul.
Shut up. You're going to say you don't know what pasta fazul is because I'll throw this microphone
at your
face.
I know because I grew up.
I understand.
I didn't grow up, but I've lived in Staten Island long enough to understand the wackiness that is the language.
No, you've lived on Earth. It's pasta fazul. You guys know what pasta fazul is?
I know. My Irish mother says it the same
Obviously,
way.
Obviously, pasta fazul.
It's from New York. It doesn't matter. It's not a matter of being Italian
anymore.
It's not a matter of being Italian anymore. It's from being from New York.
Give me some fagioli. Fagioli.
Fagiola.
Like, that's what I'm looking
for.
So
you're taking...
I'm looking for pasta faggot. That's what you're coming down to. That's what you want. Pasta fagioli.
So you're taking more of an issue with the person that pronounces something the way it's written than the idiots that don't know how to spell a word. That's who you're taking issue with.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines, and I hate them all, here on Best of Joe Radio, who's this?
Stugatz.
Christ sakes. Pasta fagioli.
Yeah, pasta fagioli.
Fajol. There's no Z-O-O-L. This isn't Ghostbusters. Come on.
But it's Fajola.
It's soup right.
There's an A at the end.
It doesn't suck, Chris. I heard that.
I'm telling
you. The reason you're sick, and it's Moe's.
Oh, you know what? You take your Chipotle piece of Chipotle, whatever piece of crap it is, and throw out the window. If I go to Chipotle, I can't get pasta fagioli, but I will.
You can't get that. You can't get gabagool. You can't get a granola. Hey, toss me another granola. How about you smooth it down?
No, don't be stupid. It's a cannoli.
Cannoli!
It's a cannoli. C's or G's. Uh-huh. That's all.
I had to work that day. I thought it was getting the day off like all the other letters at the end.
Chris, what about that pasta? That Catelli pasta?
Gabadiel?
Yeah.
Is that really what you're talking about? Because Gabadiel is the most delicious, dense frozen pasta in the world.
Wait. How about
There's
this?
There's no D in it. There is no D.
I got a Gabadiel for you.
Wait. You're going to tell me, how do you pronounce it? New style. Tell me right now. Tuesday Night Superstar. Star of the Tuesday Night Miracle here on the Heroes Talk Radio Network. What do you pronounce Cavatelli as?
Cavatelli.
No, you don't. You're a...
God bless you, young man.
I want to fight you. If we were in the same room right now...
No letter left behind.
I'll be honest.
The thing is, I'm always torn when I order pasta, okay? I know it's not man of God. I know it's not manicotti, okay? But I don't know if the person knows this. Like, if you're at the waiter, and I have to tell you that I would like some cavatelli.
What?
I want that.
What?
Do I have to dumb it down like all the other bros and say, hey, yo, give me some cavatelli and broccoli.
Cavatelli. Gavadil with Broccoli Rob. Oh my God. I'm just telling you, honestly, new style. I don't want to be a jerk. Because, well, I do want to be a jerk. But I'm telling you that if you were in the room with me right now, and I know you're maybe a strapping young man and you'd beat my ass, I would challenge you to a fight right now within a heartbeat because it's Gavadil 100%.
So what is Manicotti?
Manicot.
Manicot! You freak. Manigut. No, Igoot. Manigut.
Yeah, Manigut.
Chris, would you mind reminding everybody what the name of your band was?
The name of my old band, because of mainly just because of Germ Freak from the DJ Newstall show, was Sandwich. Because you like a nice, delicious sandwich, like a man.
That's the proper Italian pronunciation of Sandwich.
Sandwich.
It's show your arm.
What? I don't have a sandwich tattoo on my arm? Sangwich? That's the way that you... It's a nice, delicious sandwich.
Every time I have to order mozzarella sticks...
What?
Mozzarella sticks, whatever you want to call them.
Mozzarella.
Cheesy every
sticks,
time
please.
I have to order the mozzarella sticks, it eats me up inside that I'm like joining some cult right now.
I totally agree.
Of mispronouncing words for idiots. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I know, idiots.
I refuse. I'll say it the proper way, and then I'll say it like a full American translation. I will not cave. I will not drop letters, Keith. I'm with you 100% on this.
Cheese
it's
sticks.
Embarrassing.
Fried
shameful.
Cheese sticks.
It's shameful.
Chris, is it a pizza?
And you know what? When you do get your $10 million and you want to go for the main event, I will put $10 million in to be the challenger. That's what it is.
Hey, man, as long as you can fly to Mars to it, because that's the only place to defend my title. I'm a space
challenger.
When
I plan it hop, you know? What can I say?
I do what I got to do. And when I'm up there, we're going to have the battle in a pit of Gavadil, Mortadelle, you know what? My favorite cheese of all time, which you guys spell R-I-C-O-T-T-A, Arigo.
Whoa. Holy crap. What?
No, I mean, we're going to have this, it's going to be a big pit. It's going to be, we're going to have Gavadil, C-A-V-A-T-E-L-L-I. We're going to have some Manigot.
You're actually making Keith angry. Listen to him.
M-A-N-I-C-O-T-T-I, Manigot. And we're going to have some R-I-C-O-T-T-A. How do you go?
You do
and then,
understand.
And then the winner will invite the loser to a nice dish of spaghetti.
And for the record.
And a nice pizza.
And for the record, being asked in the chat room by Ustreamer 50575, something we discussed on a past episode of Best in Show where we had our Sunday ragu. Is it sauce or is it gravy? It's obviously sauce. Gravy is brown and goes on meat. But I'm telling you, arigot.
But dude, same people that say arigot say gravy.
Who says that? It's arigot. That's so stupid.
Like, you understand Arigo is, there's a cheese that's spelled A-R-R-I-G-O. I think you're mixing cheeses up right now.
A-D-I-G-O, Arigo.
Arigo, away here, and away we go.
I have to tell you, you know what, let's cancel the fight. It is definitely sauce. Anybody who says gravy for red tomato sauce, no matter what the contents of it is, if there's meat in it, I don't care, it's red and made from tomatoes.
Hold on. I agree with you, Noosa, 100%. You better get your boy Germ Freak in line, because he's calling me a hypocrite and screaming in the chat room. I swear to God, I will slash that son of a bitch's throat.
Noosa, are you...
Well, listen, you know, he's not even really Italian.
But the thing is, I've only heard Italians call it gravy.
It's true. I just want to point out, Germ Freak's not Italian. His wife makes Boboli pizza. I understand. What?
Oh, jeez.
I learned it.
Well, New Style, are you Italian? Are you 100% Italian?
Or more Italian? I'm half. I'm half. And you know what? I don't like acknowledging it. Because of the people, exactly like the people, yo, I'm going to go get some cheese balls. Well, and go get some granoles.
Well, what other half are you? You're half Italian, half what?
Wait. Hold on before you can say that. Granoles? Who ever said granoles? Granoles.
The same person who turns... ricotta cheese into ricotta. When the C becomes a G, you're an asshole. I'm sorry.
All right. So, I'm sorry, I interrupted Fred there. What is the other half?
The other half is pretty much a little dollop of everything else in Europe.
So you're all confused. You're like a weird gypsy. You're like a weird, crazy gypsy.
Gypsy.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines in some sort of conference call, I hope somebody... Rufus?
Yeah, Ken, I want you to denounce that you're Italian. You're not Italian to us anymore, okay?
Oh, is this the American Italian on the phone?
Okay,
listen. Is this the gravy saying, American Italian? Listen, Frank, first of all, I understand your wife, your Irish wife, has attempted to make a plate of pasta and sauce. That doesn't mean that you can wave the green, red, and white, okay? You American Italian.
Listen, you're not Italian. You know what? You're just Irish. You're not Italian. And you're an embarrassment to the Italian heritage. First of all, Chris, you called scarol, but you don't call sauce gravy. It's a contradiction. It's being hypocritical.
Gravy is brown, and it goes on meat. Sauce.
Oh, wait, gravy. I thought gravy sat in front of a microphone.
He does that, too. But, no, gravy is brown and goes on meat, whereas sauce is red. Sauce is red, and it goes on pastas of all sorts of different kinds. It's just the way I was brought up, and it's the way it is. I guess maybe it has to do with, now you know what? I'm going to say it had something to do with meat, because, I mean, my whole life, my sauce had meatballs and sausages boiled in it, and I won't have anything to do with it. That's irrelevant. It's sauce.
Hey, guys, New Style and Germ Free, can I get off the subject for a second here?
What?
I just want to ask them, are you guys real friends? Like in real life, or are you just radio buddies?
Like Fred and I?
Yeah, no, we associate outside of the show, reluctantly. No, he tries to serve me this, I don't know, a little flatbread with some ragu on it.
You're a fucking asshole.
Maybe like a shaved polio string cheese stick on it.
Go fuck yourself, you fuck. That was great
and then
pizza.
He gets this,
you
gets
said
this.
It was
he
great pizza.
He microwaves it and says, "Hey, here's some of my wife's pizza." And I say, "Oh, come on."
Listen, because every time
I'm an asshole. You know, you're an ungrateful prick. That was great pizza, and you said it was great pizza.
Every time I see you guys together, you guys always seem at odds with each other. You guys never agree on anything. Is there anything you guys agree on, or what?
We both agree in our undying fandom. Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, Heroes Talk, 8 to 11, Thursday nights.
Nice. I'm a big fan of all that. So, seriously, Frank, can we talk for a second here?
Yeah, okay, listen, of course.
So, you do call it scarol, right?
I call it scarol. But when I order at restaurants, I call everything by the American version because I don't want to sit there for an hour and a half trying to convince the
And person. You call me a hypocrite. You actually will say, oh, yeah, I'll have the escarole and beans. You can say
well,
that.
When I'm at home, though, I call it that. I call it scarol, gavadil,
gavadil.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm starving right now. But,
I don't even know what that is.
What do you mean, gavadil?
Gavadil.
Gavadil. It's like a dense frozen
pasta. But, Chris, you say scarol, right?
Obviously.
Could you spell scarol?
Yeah, E-S-C-A-R-O-L-E. Scarol.
Oh, okay.
Escarol.
No, scarol.
That's what I said. That's correct.
The roll.
Shkarol.
You don't feel bad wasting the E?
No, it's not wasting. It's like it's not.
Well, he had the extra H in there,
it's
too.
Like, it's like the...
When people waste E or waste H, I just cringe.
No, it's a prefix for it. It's all good for it. Shkarol. Oh, God, Gavadil. And Frank, can I ask you, R-I-C-O-T-T-A?
R-I-C-O-T-T-A?
I can deal with that way more than I can deal with arigo.
Arigo.
You're insane, man. You're confusing two cheeses, I'm telling
you. I'm not confusing the cheeses. R-I-C-O-T-T-A is pronounced arigo. Because my grandmother, when she wanted rigotta, would say, I need some arigo. And so it became arigo. And so, to me, R-I-C-O-T-T-A is arigo.
That's funny that you're the only person in the world who calls it that because your grandmother had a speech impediment. That's basically what you're saying.
She wasn't a speech impediment. She couldn't read.
She asked you to turn on the televi.
Did she ever say, yeah, exactly, oh my God, the phone's ringing, maybe we should pick up the phone. Like, maybe it was just her, that was her way of,
what,
you know.
Is the phone ringing? We gotta pick up the phone?
Arigo is almost that word backwards.
We should get you the Rosetta Stone. You need to learn English, my
just
friend.
For pronunciation, not for a new language.
The Rosetta Stone for English.
Exactly. Rosetta Stone for dummies, for English.
You got to remember, there's two types of people in this world, the Italian people and the Manigans.
What's the Manigans?
I think it's spelled M-A-N-I-G-G-O-H-H-I.
You know what a Manigan is, right, Chris?
Obviously.
What's
obviously.
A Manigan? Germ, what's a Manigan? Please, define.
Well, are you Italian?
No, I'm Irish and German.
Well, then you're a Manigan. Keith is a Manigan.
And proud of it.
That's a non-Italian and other.
Every one of
so
you.
Frank.
Every one of you, except for Rob
Nelson
Gates.
Nelson Mandela's a Medigon.
He's a Medigon.
It's can... American, said by an Italian person.
Oh, really? That's what it is?
Yes.
Isn't he an Afrigan? Or a South Afrigan?
It really and is American?
Ken is a Medigon to me.
Deja points out in the chat room. It's like a Jew and a Gentile.
It's an other.
It's an other, but I knew that that's what it was, but I had no idea that it was a bastardization of American.
It's not.
Is it like the gringo? Is it like a Mexican form of gringo?
But those are the Greeks.
Those are the Greeks.
Did they hang
I
up?
I denounce my Italian heritage.
Good, because we don't want
you. You're a have a good night,
power.
Everybody.
All right, everybody, starting.
Hang on, freak.
Starting next week on Harris Talk Tuesday nights, the Keith and DJ New Style show, and every Thursday, Germ Freak and Chris.
The race war. The race war on DJ New Style show.
They're both Italians, racist. They're self-hating Italians.
Hey, Germ and New Style, how did you guys meet? Just real quick. I want to know.
I was doing my show, and he was lured into the Palp Talk room by our friend, Mbamada, a girl.
Okay. And that's how you guys met?
Yeah, and then I tried to convince him that I was suicidal so that he could feign some kind of interest. And he really did. He was really concerned. And then all the laughs were on him when I revealed that my life...
I knew it was bullshit.
What was bullshit? Germ? Well,
his whole act.
Wow.
The thing is, he was brought into the Pal Talk room.
I was brought into Pal Talk to be a buffoon, to be a jokester. For me to be the joke, and I fooled them all.
Wow.
And after about a year or so, way to try out a different role, Frank, really. Like, really good.
Do you guys have a Chris and Brian relationship? Is this what I'm seeing here?
It's not Chris? Near, it's not, it doesn't,
volatile?
Foster, it doesn't foster that much love. It's that one.
It's
got something really big.
I feel like I've stolen enough time from you guys. I'm gonna leave Frank to stammer on your show.
everybody. Later, people.
Frank, before you go.
Yes, sir.
Are you a little, I mean, you may be upset by a lot of what's happened over the past couple of minutes here. If you were upset by this and you wanted to dry your eyes on what an American will call a dish towel in your
he's
kitchen.
Gone. He hung up. Either that or the conference hung up on him. But.
Okay, tell me, what is it?
God damn, he said got cut off in the chat room. I want to know if Germ Freak were going to dry his eyes. Please, buddy, call back, 877-744-645. It's worth it just to this one answer for me, because I'm the only one that cares.
Is it in, like, an aninop?
I want to know. Germ Freak, you there?
Yes, sir.
If you're upset by the past conversation that just happened, and you went to your kitchen and grabbed what the Americans would call a dish towel, and dry your eyes with it, what would you call that thing?
That you stumped me on.
You're a son of a bitch.
What do you call bleach?
I don't know, bleach?
Byung-a-Lean.
What?
Byung-a-Lean.
No, you're so crazy.
No, it's Byung-a-Lean.
And I'm telling you, if you're going to go into your kitchen and you're going to grab a
but
dish...
But you know, Chris, your last name actually sounds like Russian. It sounds Russian.
Except for the fact that it's the Italian word for slave, schiavo, where the word chow comes from. Schiavo is actually what my last name is.
Oh, so it's not Shivo like Terry Shivo.
Well, it's actually spelt the exact same way, but it's mispronounced by the Americans. My name is Schiavo, and it's actually the Italian word for slave.
Like a slave to machines, almost?
It's actually the word chow, when you say goodbye to people, as wacky people are known to do and say chow, you're saying I'm a slave to you when you're saying goodbye, like, oh, I'm a slave to you, chow. That's where chow comes from. It's an abbreviation of schiavo.
Is it what slaves used to have? Slaves in Italy? But is that what
they did.
Oh, right. Rome.
Okay,
is
guys.
That,
chow.
Just so you, but before you say chow, bro,
yes.
when you go home and you're, well, later on when you go into your kitchen, just look to Donna and say, hey, pass me the mopeen, because that is what a dish towel is called. It's a mopeen. Stop being stupid.
I apologize.
Was that a Filipino word?
I was just going to say copyright germ freak, but it's his, so I don't have to say it.
Take care, guys.
God bless you, my friend.
Bye.
Mopeen. You don't use a mopeen when you're in the kitchen?
I thought that was a Filipino thing.
I use a mopeen after I use my broom.
Why? Wow, see, you're being crazy.
I use a mopeen in my bathroom.
Honestly, you guys are just jerks. You don't understand how my people live, and it's a magical thing. I just want to say, people who do understand it,
I don't think they should.
It's my friend Germ Freak, friend Frank, member of the DJ New Style Show here Tuesday nights on Heroes Talk. Honestly, if you're listening to this right now, you're already a fan of the DJ New Style Show. You already know that it's the best thing going today. And if you're not, then you're just stupid, and you should be listening to it 9 to 11 every Tuesday here on Heroes Talk. Good, 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 good stuff.
Chris, I thought your last name was the root form of Skivats.
Same, yeah, right. Skivats. Skivats.
Is a mopeen in any way related to a maron?
What's a maron?
I don't know. He says it all the time. Maron.
Oh. Maron of me. What's maron of me? What's the definition of maron?
The Madonna. Like you're calling out Jesus. The mother of Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. What is
maron?
Okay.
I'm still floored about the Metagon. I can't even wrap my head around Madonna.
I don't want to come off as prejudiced.
Except you're a racist.
I don't want to
and
come
you
off.
You hate my people.
I don't want to come off as.
That you're like 1/16th of because you're a gypsy.
I don't want to come off as prejudiced against anyone's ethnicity. I don't.
But Germans stink.
When I say maron,
I'm against Nazis.
When I say maron, I say, oh my God, I can't believe you're divorcing Guy Ritchie right now. Maron, what happened to you?
I had no idea.
What is wrong? And for the record, I'm leaving the entire country of Italy out of this because this is a New York thing.
Yeah,
this is an Italian New York thing, and not all New York, not all Italian New Yorkers, but this is something that
New York, New Yorkers.
Well, I can't.
YAWK. It's New York.
I understand that, but it's closer than maron.
It's pronounced
Maron!
M-A-R-O-N.
Like a virgin. My maron!
M-A-D-O-N. Maron. Why? What is the need for extra letters?
You know, Keith, for the record, New York is pronounced...
No, boo. Hiss. Is how it's pronounced. I don't know. Maybe you guys are idiots. And I understand. You live in a crazy, wacky world where you have no pride about your people. And mind you... I wish I could.
I have tons of pride.
No, I wish I could get a sex change and I could become straight.
I want to kick you in the dupa right now. That's how much pride I have.
Maybe you just don't understand what it's like to be one of my people. And I understand. That's fine. Go to the pizzerias. Order your mortadella. Order your prosciutto. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great time. And the people like me will giggle, giggle, giggle and laugh in the back and spit all over your stuff and enjoy it. What do you got, Fred?
Keith, I have a lot of pride, too. I want to put Chris in an oven. Because I'm German.
Wow. I'm going to go so far as to say maybe the most inappropriate moment in the history of our show. We need to take a break.
You forgot about the shoe comment.
That was a good one, too. That was a good one, too. You guys don't know what we're talking about?
You'll never know.
You'll have to figure it out because we never put it on our download page.
That's funny for the three people in this room. Four.
You know what? I didn't even get it. I just laughed because I didn't even get it. Really, what's the shoe thing mean? I just laughed because everybody else is laughing.
It's Best Shoe Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with yours, place to be.
It's the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show. Coming up, it's one of the nights that our buddy Mike from Queens joined us in the studio. I believe this might have been the first time, actually. And we discuss bus etiquette on HeroesTalk.com.
Show, bestinshowradio.com, here and here. So, because I was saying, my name's Chris. I'm going to be one of the jerks that's hanging out with you today. Obviously, my dear friend Keith is here as well. I look across the table and look who I see over there. It's a little fella. His name is Fred.
Present.
Oh, good. Thank you for making it today. Thank you.
Morning.
Well, obviously, I thought hearing
a present for me?
I thought hearing the song was your gift. Wasn't that exactly what you
from
needed?
You.
Oh, sorry. You got to get one all around. I look over to the other side of the table. What do I see over there? It's Brown.
Hi-ho. Kermit the Frog here.
Wow, could you have been less energetic and less enthused to be here?
I am sick. I am done.
Wait, you were just talking 2 minutes ago. Is this your shtick for this week?
No,
you make believe that you're sick for the show?
I swear to God, I was out of work today. I was sleeping all day.
Really?
Sick. Yeah.
I would like to give you right off the bat the Spirit Award for this week's show for calling out to work, but calling in to hear.
I know.
Thing.
I know. I tried to go to sleep today so that I wouldn't kill myself by coming to the show. And I just couldn't get to sleep. I can't sleep during the day. Those days are over. I mean, I drank a lot of tea today to try to help my throat. But
caffeine is usually good when you're trying to sleep.
Exactly. I think that was my
problem. I'll be 100% honest with you, not even screwing around. Caffeine is fantastic to make me sleep.
Stop.
I swear on my life.
That's ridiculous.
Red Bull knocks me out.
Well, after like an hour.
Might be the vodka mixed with it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think that Red Bull knocks me out on its own, in all seriousness. But that's it. I look to the other end of the table. What do I see there? I see an executive producer that the Lord has bestowed upon me, just like he has with the little baby Keith. It's Rob Giggs.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Rob, I just noticed something a little bit funny as I'm sitting at the table over here. I noticed something a little bit confusing. I look over there, and I notice that there's another dude sitting here hanging out and sitting here with Best in Show. Who is that over there exactly? I'm not exactly understanding. Are my eyes deceiving me? I'm looking on my computer and I'm noticing that Pristine Sneakers hasn't logged into the Pal Talk room. It's because he's sitting at the table right here with us.
Good evening. How are you?
Fantastic. Welcome to the show, my friend. Welcome. Very nice to have you here. This is it's a very exciting special occasion here. Any particular reason other than you're just hanging out, looking to be, you know?
Just really nothing better to do with my days. And it came up in conversation, so here I am.
Fantastic.
Is that the reason we do a show?
I was going to say, the day's got to be really boring if you're saying, like, all right, well, maybe I'll hang out with Best in Show. Times have got to be rough. But excellent. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're joining us and having fun with us tonight. Nice stuff.
On the car ride here, which Freddie was nice enough to pick me up at the bus stop to bring me here, this was the very first time that Fred heard about Pristine Sneakers showing up at the show.
When Brian called to ask me for a ride and he said he was sick, I was like, do you really need to come? Do you really need to come? Maybe you should stay and you're going to get everybody else sick.
You're one of those? You're like a person who's like you get
no, I just didn't
want
to pick him up for a ride. I wanted him any excuse to get him.
You know, I think if we were still having the show in your house, Chris, with your wife and child in tow, I probably wouldn't have come.
And I would appreciate that, because I don't like when people bring illness to my child, because I actually like her. I think she's okay, and I hope that she's going to pull through.
You guys, so someone else's wife and child, you don't care?
As long as Rob's wife and child stay away from the basement, which is typically the case, you know, there's really no reason why they're going to come down
true,
here
true.
And hang with us meatheads, then I feel okay.
I gotta say, in all honesty, it warms the cockles of my heart to think that Brian's actually stepped up and he's actually ill and actually traveled here. And you know, would you ferry it here or you took the bus to the car? How'd you do it?
Subway to bus, multiple transfers, 3 different transfers in the subway, crowded on the rush hour traffic, I gotta say, and the bus.
It's interesting. It's very interesting as I think about your commuting, because one of the things that I'm obsessed with and that I've been going crazy about for the past couple of days is my commute and the way things have been going in my life as far as commuting is concerned, that has been making me insane. And I'm starting to hate the fact that I have an existence that requires me to leave my house and get in some sort of capsule to shoot me someplace else to hang out with other people. And by hang out, I mean work and do something I don't like. But I guess that makes me different from the rest of the world in no way whatsoever.
Well, it kind of does. Straighten me out. Your commute involves just the express bus up to Midtown, right?
Well, sometimes. The vast majority of the times it will take an express bus to Midtown in some respect. Sometimes I get a little annoyed with being on said express bus, and I'll...
Yeah, that's not always like a nice, joyful,
no, it's
comfort,
awful.
Right? It's horrible. I mean, it's usually crowded. It's...
I'm not generally a fan. We've had the discussions as I trade emails throughout the day with a lot of my friends, including little baby Keith over there. We spend emails on a daily basis talking about the nightmare of what it is to actually have to get on a bus and just ride in with people on a daily basis. And I can't stand it. It makes me want to smash my face.
Especially when you don't like to be near people. You know, is that because I hate to be near people?
You know
close.
What it is. We talked about it. We talked about it again. And I'm referring to email trails that have happened between my friends. But like, it's there's like a whole like mini world, like a whole little like breakdown, dichotomy of like the universe of everything on your little bus while you're traveling in. And there's this whole like reward system that goes on in my head. I was like, holy crap, I'm going to make it the whole way in. I'm going to be able to sit in my chair right here and no one is going to sit next to me. It's going to be the greatest day in the entire world that no one's going to sit next to me.
Yeah, but you, Chris, like you have self-imposing rules on the on your commute. For instance, if someone with vagina steps onto the bus and is standing, you will stand up and offer her a seat, correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Any exceptions? Have you, now that you do like a regular commute, do you like sort of stand firm every now and again? Do you, if you're especially tired or sick, do you sit down and
No. I'll always get up for a lady on the bus, no matter age.
Tranny too? You'll get up for?
I'll sit on the tranny's lap, or insist that the tranny sit on my lap. That's a different story.
There's this whole crazy thing about being on the express bus, especially. Like I have this whole thing where I intentionally won't go to to describe it to people that don't know, which is everyone. The specific Staten Island.
I thought we all commuted with you. I thought we were all on the bus with you every morning.
The specific Staten Island Express bus is it's double seats on both sides, and the back is a straight row of seats, you know, straight through. So I will go not to the last row. I will go to the seats right before that, and I will sit there thinking that if people get on and there is no, like, you know, double seats empty for them to not have to sit next to anyone, then what they'll do is sit, you know, they're obviously going to sit down early. You know, like, so
you're
first of all,
your math is off. Because as soon as you do anything in life, whether you're walking into a classroom for the first time, getting on a bus, or doing anything, all the cool kids who want to smoke cigarettes are going to go to the back of the bus. That's where you're going to try and sit, and that's where you're going to try and hang out. So why in God's name would you think that going to the back you're hiding? That's where people are going to want to be. Like, that's the hot spot, I would think.
Well, aside from that, I don't take buses with the cool kids normally. I usually take them with, like, you know, lame people. So, like, they'll always, like, go sit down right in the front. But I intentionally avoid sitting in the front because I figure if you get on and you see that there's no two seats together, you're going to have to sit next to somebody anyway. You're just going to basically drop where you are at that point.
Can I tell you what the real reason is?
What?
You're a cool kid. You want to be in the back of the bus hanging out smoking cigarettes.
I want to be alone at that point. I'm a loner and a cool kid.
All right. Well, is there a difference?
I'm very Dylan, very James Hurley. You know,
Dylan's
like
drinking
I'm,
again, from what I heard. But.
You know, I take the express bus to Staten Island from Manhattan every Thursday to get here for the show.
Congratulations.
I have found that jumping on the front seat is one of the surest way to maintain a seat for the entire ride because on a crowded bus, people continue to walk the length of the bus hoping that they'll see when they get like 10 steps deep that they'll see.
But you're saying maintaining an empty seat next to you or maintaining your seat?
Just keeping my seat I'm happy with. I'd love to.
Why would you lose your seat?
Because someone with a vagina will walk in and
okay. So you subscribe to the same rules and laws of nature like a human being.
Also old people. Although I have to cop to every once in a while, particularly on subways and crowded subways.
Make them believe you're asleep.
Yes, pretending to be asleep when there's a young woman who I particularly – I think, you know, she's probably a little healthier than I am. So there's no reason why I should be sitting, so I'll conk out and make believe I'm asleep sometimes.
By the way, our buddy Canadian Page is pointing out in the Heroes Talk Room, vaginas can stand too, you know. It actually works out that way. I got to be honest. I think it's a matter of respect. It's a nice thing. I think it's the thing that you do and say, hey, no, I'm sorry. Young lady, please, have this nice seat here. Enjoy yourself.
Christine, you get up for a chick if you're on the bus?
I get up for the elderly. Not for any female. No, not by any means. It doesn't matter what the age. But elderly people, it doesn't matter what the sex is.
You'll get up for Brian. If Brian walks into the bus, you're standing right up for him.
Absolutely. Sympathy.
I'm thinking a change in my ways to Pristine's way. I'm thinking, you know, screw it with the ladies. Just get up for the old people.
Yeah, that's. I'll get up for old people.
Old people, pregnant ladies, maybe.
Ooh, old big. People, pregnant ladies, somebody that looks injured. Somebody, if I'm sitting in one, a three seat, if I'm on a local regular bus and there's three seats together and a woman gets on with, like, you know, kids, then I'll get up. I did that yesterday, actually. I'll get up and go to the back so she can.
Yeah, woman with kids, actually, is definitely an exception. Woman with kids, I'll get up for.
I love injured is what you go, no, man, this is my seat. Yeah. Sorry, I don't care. I don't care about your crutches.
How about a slightly mentally ill person? Like, just slightly, not full.
What am I to administer a test? I mean,
like you know, you could see that they could stand on their own and, like, they're independent. Are you getting up for them? Mentally challenged person.
You mean they're not crawling to the seat?
You're not getting up.
They're mentally challenged.
Not physically, they're well. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I guess maybe when I say that I'll do it for any girl, I think young girls, I won't. Like 20s and under, I don't think I will. But like business ladies, like young punks, I couldn't care less about.
Okay.
But like women, and you're on an express bus. It's always going to be a woman going to work for the most part, the vast majority of the time, and I'll get up for all of them. It's just, hey.
I'm thinking of changing. I'm thinking of going back to, because it seems like that's, nobody else does that, or very rarely do you see people stand up for all women, or most.
Well, I've got news for you. According to the Heroes Talk chat room, a gentleman hanging out, you know, knows some class, knows some decency, some respect. It's Fred's brother. It's Chaz the Dazzler, otherwise known as Chazbot. He definitely gets up for the ladies every time on the bus. Well, and that's what a man should do.
He is the Dazzler.
He also slaps him on the ass as they're sitting down.
How's that seat treating you, honey? How's that doing for you, huh?
Let me clear a spot for you.
Yeah, but I, you know, like a lady, like in her, like maybe she has to wear like her little business suit. She gets herself all dressed up and she's wearing her Reeboks from 1987, just like Germ Freak, and just like, and needs to sit down there. Like, you're saying that doesn't work for you?
No, not the Reeboks at all. The high tops with the Velcro. You're talking about the business. I don't know why, but for some reason it seems to represent like some kind of aggression that exists somewhere in this woman that I cannot fucking vibe with at all, man. Like these women who put on the sneakers to start checking to work and everything. No, it doesn't. It's the opposite.
See,
it doesn't turn me on at all.
See, well, I'm not saying necessarily a turn on. I'm saying the fact that she's so broken down.
Oh, that you
and doesn't
go up to
work
for her.
That she feels some sort of special athletic shoes are required to get her into her office on a daily or to commute to it. I feel like, you know what, man. Rest your feet. Let me soak them thing for you. I'll rub them for you, even if I need to. Relax.
I hear
Take
you.
A look.
I hear you, but they're comfortable shoes to wear at work, too. I mean, you have to draw a line somewhere. I can't be getting up for everybody. All right, we got women, we got the elderly, we got women with children. How many people can I sit down for at this point? Like, I just need to draw a line. I need to be able to sit down sometimes.
Have you ever let a bus pass because it was too full?
I got news for you. The reason I even bring this up today is because tonight, on the way home from work, the reason why I scrambled late into Rob's house tonight is the fact that I was going to get on a bus. I was banging on a door on the bus to be let in because two people got off as the line to get in worked out there. There's no seats on it. I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'll get on a bus. I'll stand room only. That's no big deal for me at all. The bus driver, as I'm banging on the door, just didn't look, didn't do anything, let the doors close, and continued to drive on. And totally shattered my entire life, and I hate his face forever.
Oh, they do that constantly. They always do that. They will run you over if you try to, like, I was once running across the street, and the light was about to change, and the bus driver practically went through a red light and tried to run me over so he wouldn't have to, you know, stop and open his doors so I get on his bus.
And the thing is, Priscilla and I were talking about this right before the show started. Like, I was insane. Like, is it worse that the dude didn't bother looking at me? That he kept his head straight forward, like, you know, tunnel vision on the road in front of him and made believe he couldn't hear the... Hey, wait, see this thing 3 feet away? Hey, I'm banging on this. Let me in here. Yeah. No, and just let's go. Is it worse that he did that to me? Or if he actually looked at me, like maybe nodded his, or shook his head at me like, no, you're not getting on.
He's better off. He's better off not looking at you.
You think?
Yeah.
You know, Fred pulled an interesting little maneuver once. He was driving me to the bus stop after the radio show. To get back home, and he turned the corner, and we saw that my bus was there. And this is late at night, like it's after midnight or 1 o'clock, which means if I don't catch that bus, I'm waiting for a good half hour, 40 minutes for the next bus. Fred was Johnny on the spot. He floored the thing. He was like Knight Rider, cut in front of the bus and slammed his brakes, and then made the bus come to like a full 4-point stop. I got out, and then he sped off, and then the bus had to stop. He stopped right in front of the bus stop and let me on, and the bus driver gave me the, like, worst stink face in the world.
Yeah, they really love that. I've seen them actually yell at people constantly. Like I've seen a lot of times, like, husbands will cut off the bus so the wife could get on, and the guy will start yelling at her, like, you know, you got to tell him not to do that.
Why would it bother a guy who's trying to do his job to be told, hey, wait, you're going to do your job at my pace because we left the house 5 minutes late.
Right.
Well, you know, why would he want to not be living at that? Why wouldn't he say, hey, that's Fred the pothead. Why do I want him to be pulling in front of the bus at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Well, the funny thing is if Fred waited like 20 feet, if he drove 20 feet forward and hit the brakes, he would have stopped in front of the bus stop, and there were people waiting at the bus stop, so the bus would have had to stop anyway. So,
I would think that the move would just be to drive you to the next bus stop faster than the bus. Isn't that the courteous?
Fred didn't want Brian in his car any longer. That's basically what
I understood.
The next bus stop was all the way down the one of the last exits down.
Almost three blocks away.
No, almost three blocks away.
I couldn't have anything to do with that.
It's literally the perfect stop because all he has to do is hang a left and he's a block away from his house. If he drove me to the next bus stop, it would have been a chore getting back.
But Brian, don't think in my head when I saw that bus was like I was like maybe I should make Brian miss his bus and go a little bit slower and like miss out.
Our buddy Hooligan Jim points out, hey, we're on Staten Island. That's why, hey, oh, stop the freaking bus, Mo. Eh? Come on. Dude, guy.
You know, Pristine touched on something a little earlier when he was alluding to getting up for people with children. I've got an issue with that, I think. I think I'm going to loop that into, I mean, definitely a pregnant woman I'm getting up for. You can sit down. But a person with a child doesn't necessarily need a seat. Like, I can understand maybe the child is kind of we went through this
before on your train tales that you have in the past that you have some issues with things, you know, and by things I mean people.
Yeah. I guess my problem with that mostly is that they feel as if they deserve a seat. Like, they'll look at you
and they expect it to happen.
Like, people with children, generally speaking, are just entitled. They just feel as if they are entitled to your seat. Even though you've been there before, you should be standing up because I have a kid. And if you do that, they'll sit down and let the kid go running around. You know?
You know, the funny thing is that they do feel entitled, and it works on me because I have no idea why I do it even. Like, I don't do it because I think, oh, this kid needs to rest, or necessarily because they always give it to the child, usually. But yeah, it works on me, evidently. Like, they've conditioned me to think that I should be getting up for, you know, women with children on the subway. I really don't believe that I should. I just do.
I've seen them sit down and let the kid run around the train for a little while, like go grabbing things and swinging
around. That would really get me angry.
Yeah.
You know what? I think what bothers me the most is if you're standing over the single seats, you know, with your arm up on the strap hanger and somebody gets up, there's always a person. And ironically, to me, it always seems like an older woman, that, like, just tries to, like, practically run you over and knock you out of that spot to try to somehow jump into that seat before. Like, naturally, this person gets up, you're standing over the seat, your next move's, you know. So what I'll usually do if I don't feel like sitting is I'll just kind of move over or I'll back up a little bit. So I'm kind of just, like, to let everyone know, all right, hey, there's a seat here, everybody, you know, like, without actually saying it and look like a maniac. But there's always a person that just, like, they see you start to move and they run over like they're going to try to get into that seat.
It is,
like,
usually old people, too.
That's my seat. That is my seat by right because I'm standing over the empty seat.
I find the Asian ladies will end up doing that more than most people. They'll barrel the way through it to go steal the seat, and I'll block them off. I'll do a little kind of like bloop and let someone else through and jump.
Our buddy Frankie Bones in the past, who's called in quite a few times, by quite a few I mean like three, but he's I work with him, and he tells me on a constant basis how he can't stand waiting for the train when there's an Asian woman there because they get like they're like little missiles that they go down and they go into stealth mode and just run in to try and claim some sort of seat.
They become so aggressive. It's unbelievable. But the only thing worse than someone physically knocking you out of the way is the person who pretends that they're not forcing you out of your seat. And by that I mean the fat woman who will find a space of about 6 inches and just put her fat ass on top of the people on either side of the space and gradually slide into it until one of them has no choice to get up. Like, what are you going to do? Say... You can't tell her she's fat and she's not supposed to sit here.
Oh yes,
and
you're not quite fitting in the place that is one seat. Yeah. You're not allowed.
And Pristine, in the same vein, you get those dudes who like their balls must be huge because their legs have to be so spread apart, like wide. Like
it's amazing.
And two
isn't
people
it?
On the side of them are just scrunched, and you can see one dude just with his legs
and
spread eagle.
He doesn't care. He's like Jean-Claude Van Damme on some kind of bamboo apparatus. Like. just completely, like he's right making an effort to spread these knees as far apart as he can. It's amazing.
I leg wrestle with him now. When I'm sitting next to a guy like that, usually it's when they're falling asleep. I don't know if like their leg muscles loosen up or something like
you'll
that.
You'll leg wrestle? You'll actually like push your leg?
I start spreading my legs. I start pushing them around and like, you know, kind of, and I'll sit up and make it obvious that I'm doing it.
Way too much touching. Way too much touching for a bus.
You're going to scissor
really
him.
You know, speaking of touching on a bus, I was thinking of a funny story yesterday of what happened. I was sitting on a bus once about a year ago.
Touching?
I'm in these single seats, right? The single seats, and I'm sitting there. I have this bag, this backpack, and it had like these tassel things on it that I never bothered taking off when somebody gave me the bag because it's like almost like hair, like horse hair or something. It feels like.
I'm going to go so far as to say creepiest bag ever.
Okay, well, yeah, it was pretty creepy, but it was attached to the zipper, but, like, I didn't bother ever taking it off because it was a pain in the ass, so I'm just sitting there playing with it. And anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, daydreaming, staring out the window, and I'm sitting there, like, whittling this tassel hair in my fingers, and I keep going back to it, and then all of a sudden it feels like a lot. And I'm thinking, like, what is this? What's going on right here? And
you've told me this story. I love it.
And I look down, and there's this girl sitting in front of me with long hair that's hanging over the back.
You've been dreading
of
the girl's
the bar,
hair.
And I'm just sitting here playing with the bottom of her hair.
Is there anything in the world better than being a young lady who gets on a bus than the creepy fat bald dude behind you playing with your hair? What's better than that?
Just hearing sniffing sounds from the back.
She was a young Asian girl, so apparently young Asian girls get their hair played with a lot on the bus. Like
yeah, she wanted that seat that bad, right? That's what she got.
Yeah, she ran in, she got that seat. No, you got to get your hair played with.
Did she say anything to you?
No, she didn't
have a new.
She
didn't realize?
She never knew. And the
thank
first thing
you,
I
sir.
Do...
Hooligan Jim in the chat room says, "Hello, Clarice."
And I'm turning around, and now I'm looking around thinking, all right, now I have to see if anybody's watching me play with this girl's hair. But it was just, they were all monsters on the bus anyway, so I don't even think they understood. Like, they probably just thought I was with her or something if they did see. I try to get that bus every day after that.
And she was the seat in front of you? Or?
She was the seat in front of me, and there's like the metal bar, it's almost like a headrest behind you. And normally, like, your hair will sit, you know, will be attached to your back. But her hair was flipped out over the bar into my area. So she was in my zone, technically. So her hair was mine to play with by
right. She was asking for it, officer.
You should have cut it. You should have snipped it right off.
Jake Potter points out in the chat room, you should have blown your nose in it.
What did you think it was? Just a piece of like string hanging off
his creepy tassel bag.
It was the tassel. It was like the animal hair or whatever, faux animal hair tassel on the bag that I was playing with.
He had one of those bags that was kind of like the suede jacket like that the 40-year-old woman at the rock show wears.
Like the Harley
chick.
She's
hanging out like dancing a little bit with like that brown suede tassel-y thing. He had one of those bags.
Smells like a Michelob.
Oh my god, pot and patchouli. It was a perfect mix.
What size dress did you have on that night?
Purse with them.
It's got the, like the consistency of hash.
I would be
like
bummed out that she had ticks or like a lice or something like that. And then the ticks, lice.
Beautiful hair. Absolutely beautiful hair. It was nice. She was wearing a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant uniform too.
Oh, she definitely had lice.
What was the name of the place? You should go by there and order, you know, like the hair lo mein, whatever.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HeroesTalk.com. Join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for the DJ New Style Show.
Why do you lack nostalgia? Why don't you like things of that nature?
I think it's because I'm afraid of becoming you. Your whole life is nostalgia. You never have any present-day memories or moments or anything like that. You're always stuck in the past, and I think that's a really scary thing to be. When you're stuck in the past, what are you left with? You're left with fading memories and hair bands like you. You'll pay $1,000 to try and just get a taste of that precious youth that's gone by, to hear Bon Jovi strum out a song. I'm not attacking you, but I think that's part of it. You asked. I think that's part of it. I don't want to be you. And you know what
that's
I mean?
That's a god-awful thing to say.
Oh,
you think
know
you're
that.
God. You have the you're self-absorbed as though you're God, but you're not God.
I don't think I'm self-absorbed in that.
Oh, you're self-absorbed.
Explain how I'm self-absorbed.
You're just very taken with yourself. You have a God complex. nuts.
Let's give some examples. Why? And I have a God complex. Is that what you just said?
You could not admit when you have a tough time admitting you're. You know what you're like? You're like Arthur Fonzarelli. You could not admit when you're wrong.
If I were like Arthur Fonzarelli, then I would be on your lunchbox still to this day. Well, goddamn,
so
reminiscing.
I was a fan. So what?
You were a big fan.
I took an Easter photo with Fonzie. I had a shirt of Easter Fonzie shirt when I took my Easter bunny pic. I was a big fan of Fonzie.
Can you dig that up?
And I can remember sitting there on his lap, and I took my
hand and
grabbed the fur on his leg.
Did you do a little semicircle in his lap, wearing your Fonzie shirt?
Jesus, I was proud of that shirt too.
Why were you proud?
I had a Fonzie doll. You press the back and its thumbs go up.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Join us live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern for the DJ New Style Show on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio Room in Powtalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HearUsTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Welcome back to the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show. My name is Keith. Thank you for joining me tonight. I just want to remind you, Monday nights, it's the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show from 9 to 11. On Tuesday nights, it's the DJ New Style Show live from 9 to 11. Wednesday nights, it's 100K Presents. On Thursday nights, Best in Show Radio is live from 8 to 11. And The What Show is live Friday nights from 9:30 to 12:30, all times Eastern, on HearUsTalk.com. Coming up, we have a clip also going back to the fall of 2008 on the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show. In this one, we talk about dreams.
It's funny you brought up us being at XM earlier, because I was walking by the XM studios today. I was in that area, and I thought back to Monday, I believe it was.
You were in the city this afternoon. You didn't even think to like call and say, "Hey, what's up?"
I actually called and I called you from there, but you were
from XM. You were on XM today, and you called me from there.
No, I was on Sirius actually.
Oh, okay.
No. I was being Sirius on Z100.
That's what it was. Sorry.
I was thinking back to this dream I had on Monday night. When I woke up Tuesday morning, I was going to call you, Chris, and apologize. And I was also going to ask you, hey, man, did you have a dream about Saturday Night Live? And now let me explain this. Maybe it's too much David Lynch. Maybe it's too much books like Morning of the Magicians. But I always tend to think that, like, if I have a dream, a realistic dream with another person that's not just completely off the wall and crazy, then, like, for some reason, I always think that person was having the dream also.
That would definitely qualify as insanity.
And I don't think it for very long, but, like, early on in the morning, I almost have this feeling, especially when I first wake up. So I was having trouble sleeping Monday night, and I woke up Tuesday morning, and I had this dream that Chris and I were going to be hosting Saturday Night Live.
Oh, good.
So
we got two people that you've never heard of ever and never will coming to host this show. What's up, guys?
So we're going
to
host Saturday Night Live. So
musical guest, Cannibal Overdrive.
Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know who the musical guest was. I did think about that later in the day. I'm thinking and... basically what happened is, and I know dream descriptions are terrible, so I'll keep it brief, but basically, the first part of the dream is us kind of, and you know what? A couple days later now, it's kind of out of my mind. It was very vivid in the morning, but...
By the way, Deja's pointing out she had the dream too. The musical guest was the Church of Man Love, if you didn't know.
Well, maybe that's why we were there. So in this dream, we're like, we're in this room and we're just like talking about like how crazy this is and everything. And so we're standing in this waiting room area and I'm saying to you, I mean, I don't even know anything about, what?
I'm sorry, I'm totally distracted by the fact that Talera pointed out in the Paltok room that she had a dream that her sister fought aliens and then they looted them for a box of tequila. Her and her sister fought a box of aliens.
Wait, that's how this dream ended.
That's weird. Oh, sorry, you guys had that same dream. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, so we're talking and I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't even know anyone on Saturday Night Live anymore. And somebody brought up Daryl Hammond and then all of a sudden, like, you became Bill Clinton. That's like the dream part of it, you know. But when it snapped back into a normal dream, like, they call us over and, like, they're introducing us to people or something. And then, we're talking and we're like, yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're even on. And now this is all happening while I'm sort of waking up. Have you ever had a dream and you kind of wake up and you open your eyes and you're looking around the room but you're still dreaming but you're sort of conscious of what's going on and you kind of realize you're dreaming?
Isn't that called lucid dreams where you don't know the
difference?
I thought
lucid dreams is when you can control your dreams.
Okay, you might be right. You might be right. I always thought lucid dreams were...
But you might be right, too, because I don't think you can control your
dreams. I misuse language all the time. That's fine. I thought you were talking like the whole thing where you wake up and you think you're awake, but you're still dreaming, that thing.
Oh, no, not even... Well, it's kind of like... It's weird, because you know you're dreaming. But, all right, so anyway, so this is probably the best way to describe this. So I wake up, and I'm looking around the room, but I'm still dreaming. And then all of a sudden, I'm back in the conversation with you, you know. But, like, my eyes are open, so I'm probably staring at the room. And as I'm talking to you, like, I'm saying, wow, this is really insane, man. How did we end up getting the host Saturday Night Live? This is crazy. And, like, millions of people are going to know about Best in Show now because they're going to see this. And then I'm like, but why did this even happen? Like, why did we even get this opportunity? And then I'm actually thinking it out, and I'm like, oh, wait, because you're a douchebag and you're dreaming right now.
I think that was lucid dreaming. I think
probably you're probably
did.
Right. I don't really know what that is. So
Deja saying that's what it is too. Lucid dreaming is where you're kind of awake. And our buddy Equinox is saying lucid dreaming is being aware of the fact that you're dreaming.
Okay,
you're
so that's exactly what it was
state.
Then. So then now I'm just like, oh man, this is effed up. Now all of a sudden we're back in the car ride to XM, but I guess we're driving to Saturday Night Live this time. So I say, yeah, and I say to Chris, well. I was like, hey, man, and I was like, I shouldn't do this to him. And I'm like, nah, but I have to tell him. And I'm like, hey, man, do you know where we're going right now? And you're like, yeah, we're going to Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, but do you know what we're going to do? And he's like, yeah, we're going to host Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, didn't you ever stop and think maybe that's a little insane that they asked us to host Saturday Night Live?
So you tried to bring me out of your dream in your dream.
Yes.
At least he was delicate about it.
And
you
I'm just
I mean?
Like, no, I wasn't, man. Because then I'm just like all angry. And I'm like, you're such an a-hole. Don't you realize that we're both effing dreaming right now and this isn't really happening? Because I was so disappointed at the whole thing. And your reaction is just to sit back, think, and then lay back down and sort of just disappear, and then you were just gone.
I looked at you and said, no, Dick, you're the one that's dreaming. And I jumped out of
awesome
the moving car.
And then as I'm dreaming, this is probably the best part of all. I'm like, wow, so I'm dreaming. And then I see this girl on the street, and I'm like, I'm going to go try to have sex with that girl because I'm dreaming. And I, like, yell something to her. And then I woke up out of the whole thing.
But so you thought. We're actually on the way to Saturday Night Live right now. Just so you know, Slayer's pointing out that it's immense self-hate if you're dreaming about trying to get others to get into reality. That's the most absurd thing in the entire world.
I think we know about my level of self-hate at this point, so she's probably spot on.
Did you give the girl any, like, pickup line? Did you even say, like, hey, did you even talk to the girl yet, or you woke up?
I yelled, hey, and of course, in my dream, now, it was to the point where, I was controlling this now. Like, this is my dream, so of course, like, she smiled, come over, I can do whatever I want now, you know, like, but oddly enough, she was a little old for my tastes.
if she came up to you, you would have said, do you realize I'm dreaming, and I can't have
it? I'd love to do it with you right now, but I'm dreaming. And you must be dreaming, too.
Exactly.
Except you're here trying to have sex with me, so you must be having a nightmare.
Did the fact that you were driving a car throw up a red flag at all? Did
no, ever, there like... was no one driving the car. It was a dream. It was a dream. I mean, yeah, the Bill Clinton part was funny. I said to you, is Daryl Hammond still on Saturday Night
Live? I loved
Live?
Her on Splash.
Yeah, seriously.
And so I turn cute. Around and then I'm like, and then all of a sudden you were Bill Clinton. And I'm like, but you kind of look like Bill Clinton more than him. And then I'm like, wait, but you are. Wait, then I was kind of like, wait, are there two Clintons? What?
That was George Clinton.
I can't believe you sabotage your own dreams.
Yeah,
that's unreal.
Oh, regularly I do that.
There's
regularly.
Something really crazy going on. That, like I said, when I like the idea if you're having a nightmare, if you can come to that state of realizing that it's a dream and getting out of it. But when you're, I don't know, obviously living out some sort of fantasy and spoiling your own fantasy in a dream, it's really hideous.
I used to be able to scream myself out of nightmares.
Ooh. Scream so loud that you actually woke yourself up in real life? Or is it just the...
Screamed in the middle of... The, literally screamed, yeah.
But I'm saying, do you think it's in your bed.
But do you think it's the volume of what you were trying to do in your dream that actually woke you up? Or the actual force that you were trying to get out of yourself that woke you up?
I don't know if it was the you mean the physical force? I think it was the mental force, actually, of it just woke me up, you know?
So like you screamed in your dream, but not in real life.
No, I screamed in real life.
In real life, too.
Yeah, in order to do that, and it was another thing about kind of knowing what I was doing, it was kind of like I know sort of that I'm dreaming, but it would kind of be more like a weirder situation. It would be like, I know I'm going to scream out loud right now, but I have no other choice. It's my... It's my break the glass and, you know, emergency
just so you know,
way out.
The conversation that's going on in the Pal Talk room is the idea of needing to scream in your dreams and not being able to. And there's nothing, like, I actually got taken back by that. I hate the idea of just wanting to be able to scream and not being able to get it out. That's horrifying to me.
It took me a long time, but I can actually train myself to kind of overcome that. Now, used to, a big thing for me used to be not being able to run or wanting to walk, like, away from something, but I couldn't get up off the ground. So I'm crawling and struggling, and something's coming after me. Now I can just kind of, like, think through it, realize that I'm in the dream, and run if I need to. But
see, if you realize you're in a dream, why couldn't you just make yourself fly then? Do that next time. You know what?
That's a whole nother level, Chris.
You're dreaming. But I think because if you can control your things in your dreams that much, like, you actually can consciously say to yourself, oh, wait, I could just run. Why couldn't you just say to yourself in your dream, hey, man, I'm going to just fly. You know what? I'm going to shoot a missile out of my chest at this thing that's scary.
It's like the Matrix, you know? You can bend the rules. You can't break them.
I haven't remembered a dream in 15 years. I just don't. I know I dream, but I just haven't remembered a dream in over 15 years, at least.
If I could create if I could actually control all of my dreams, if I could control all of my dreams to the point where I know that as soon as I fall asleep, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want and it's going to be clear, all I would need enough money for is rent and, like, water and vitamins to keep me alive and sleeping pills.
You're constantly talking about that musical, man. It's over. It's over. Let go of rent already.
Haven't you seen it enough? Would you really need to see it in your dreams, too?
You dream a lot, Chris, or no?
I would assume I dream every night.
Do you remember? Do you remember them every night?
Not so much. I remember particularly scary ones, I guess. I always buy into that whole weird thing, which I don't know if you ever heard, that if when you wake up and you remember your dream, if you look out a window, you'll forget your dream. And
what?
I'm telling you, it's a thing I've heard. It's like, I know it's an old wives' tale and it means nothing.
I've never heard it.
Try it tomorrow morning when you wake up, sit up in your bed, think what your dream was, look out the window, go take a shower, and when you come out, you won't remember your dream.
But we discussed when I used to have dreams about something I called the Black Shoe Store, which was like, it's not black in a racial term, but it was just, I don't know, it was just the word black. I don't know what it meant. I was also 5.
It was guys.
I would get up and I would walk to the window, but I think I was kind of asleep while I would walk to the window, so maybe that's why I still remember it.
And it was a black shoe store? It just said Black Shoe Store on it?
It just
was
sold
the
black
shoes? It was the phrase. It was people, like, in robes, and it was the phrase Black Shoe Store. And that's what I used to dream. And I used to walk to the window and point to the Greenpoint Bank.
Why has that not become a Church of Man Love song? The Black Shoe Store.
I'm still kind of creeped out by the whole thing.
Well, exactly. All the more reason. Confront your demons. Confront your Black Shoe Store demons. I love confronting demons here on Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears. And the place to be. It's very exciting. It's been exciting stuff. I'm weirded out by dreams. I'm weirded out by the whole controlling the dream thing. I love the idea of it. I always remember there was a commercial for an Omni magazine that when we were kids that, man, that Omni magazine, you could buy a subscription to it, and the issues of Omni that they were holding up on the screen, one of them said, "Control your dreams." And I always remember the whole thing. No, you're not on hold. Yes. I'm just finishing my story, you silly goose. Who's this on Best in Show? Surprise, surprise.
I was so impressed. I'm like, I think they have a call screener.
No, 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 not that. We're not that cool at all. Solara joining
it's
us
so
here.
So busy, I got put on hold without even know. Please hold.
No, we got you here. We got you here. What's going on?
Well, Pat has put me in the spot. I did not want to call because I thought I wanted to work my way up the ranks via text and then call, you know, a few weeks from now. No. But apparently, I have to tell a story about my dreams. I have heroic dreams. I have dreams of saving people. Much of the alien dream was one of them. I also dreamt of, I dream like that the world was overcome by floods, and then I saved my family, and I had children hanging from my limbs, and Patrick underneath my arm. I always win, and then we get to water.
I love I always like, win.
I'm like a superhero in my dreams. They're awesome.
I don't know that I ever got the whole like winning at the end, or certainly like, I don't even get the idea of like winning, you know, in like one on one situations. Certainly not like saving the world from anything.
Don't you win when you have sex? When you come, don't you feel like you've won?
Well, it depends on what you like personally. I guess for some people that would be considered winning, but I guess that would be a victory. But I'm saying like even like on a grand scale like that, some sort of world saving. I don't get it.
I didn't think dreams had a beginning, middle, and end. I thought it was just this mishmash of things, and there wasn't an ending where you won or you lost or you.
From what Solara's saying here, it sounds kind of like what she's running is. It's almost like it's a like a major motion picture. Like there's a beginning, something bad happens, she comes, she saves them, and. I mean, how do your dreams end? How do these victorious moments come to a conclusion?
Once everything's fine, I know I'm dreaming because obviously my life isn't. So once I've fixed everything, then I'm like, all right, I guess I should wake up. This is obviously not reality.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
I'm okay with it.
Do you feel like you need? You're always dreaming about saving people. Do you think you need Do you think that you need saving in your real life, and that's why you dream about saving people?
I know in my real life I'm a fixer.
Okay.
So I know that's why I dream. In my real life I see a problem and all I want to do is fix it.
So basically this is like a magnification. This is like
it's fixer extreme.
Exactly.
Yeah, except in the dreams it actually works out. In my real life I just stagnate in fucking mediocrity and not get bullshit.
Well, that's kind of like a fixer, right?
You know what I wonder though, Solara, have you always like won in dreams? Because I didn't start like being victorious in dreams, which is rare, until I was an adult in my like maybe late 20s. Before that it was always bad. Has it always been like a win situation for you?
No, they alternate. It depends on the state you're in before you go to bed.
Right.
I think, the best ones are the ones where I win, but then there's those weird ones where you're just like, why am I here? Can you stop dreaming this? And like, you tell yourself to stop dreaming this retarded dream. And you're like, I still want to sleep. I don't want to wake up. That's the worst part, when you know you're dreaming and you don't like the way the dream is going, so you try to work it out.
That's so advanced.
I'm telling you, I don't understand this whole level of semi-consciousness in your unconscious. It doesn't make sense to me. And again, I'm not saying that I've never had what I guess we're calling lucid dreams before, and that I've never realized it before. But I've never had such an awareness in this unaware state. I feel like I'm missing out. I'm kind of jealous of this whole thing. I'm going to lucid dream tonight. I'm going to shoot a missile out of my chest. I'm going to save the world. It's going to be great.
You are right now.
They're awesome.
Oh, my God.
You ever had those dreams where you're in the dream? Because he was talking about it before, but his whole, like, deprecating part of it, where it can't be possible because, God forbid, he should be famous and successful. But the point is, like, you're in the dream, and you know it's a dream, and you're like, this is cool. I'm going to run with it. Like, you're just like, okay.
Well, that's exactly what I did at the end. When I saw the girl at the end, I was kind of like, oh, well, I know I'm in a dream now, so let me see what I can do about this situation.
So seriously, what's up?
I turned this into a wet dream.
No, I even got scared off of that, too.
Solara, do you find that you have, like, a soundtrack going? I mean, the dreams that you're describing are, like, movie-era heroic kind of.
My dreams are weird. Like, my dreams are weird in the sense, first of all, I dream in Spanish.
Do you speak Spanish? That would be really
weird.
I know,
I dream, because that's my first language.
Oh, right.
All my dreams are in Spanish. When there's English in my dream, I know I'm semi-conscious. because then that I know I'm thinking in order to think in English.
Can I actually just totally off the dream? So being that English was not your first language, not even dreams at all. Do you actually think in Spanish or do you think in English?
It depends on what I'm doing. If it's work related, I think in English. For like when I have sex, when it comes from not thinking. Like, when I have sex in Spanish.
Ay, papi.
Deja beat me to it. She asked in the chat room if you got English subtitles.
I'm telling you, that's where I thought the whole dream was going. The whole idea of just, like, you have this arc that happens, and then you win, and that's why I was asking, how do the dreams end? Like, I'm waiting for the credits to roll. Like, that's how the whole thing was going to end.
Do you dream in color?
I always dream in color. I don't know. That'd be weird to dream in
Converse
black and white.
I got news for you. Our friend Bourgeoisie, who Fred used to be in a band with, always told me when he was younger he would dream in black and white, and he would dream only in cartoons. He didn't actually dream like reality, which I thought was just the most bizarre thing in the world.
Wow,
cartoons aren't real. What's going on?
Mark Dock in the Heroes Talk Channel points out that he dreams in HD, which is very exciting. It's very exciting.
I dream in Blu-ray.
Nice. So you can watch him again later. That's cool.
Awesome. I'm very excited. I'm very excited that you decided to call in and let us know about your dreams. So I appreciate you being a part of the show. Actually, your husband Irish Alky is asking if he's in your dreams when they happen.
Yes, I saved him. I told him that the last dream I had, the Waterworld dream, was really awesome.
Does he... I'm sorry, does he...
He doesn't know how to swim.
Does he speak Spanish?
He understands. He took Spanish for a long time. He understands. Obviously, he's not a native Spanish speaker, but he does understand me when I'm coming.
In the dream... In the dream, is he speaking Spanish? That's my question.
Yeah, he does. And he does. Did you ever see... Like, I don't know. One of my favorite things to watch ever was Lucky Louie, but in Spanish. They would play it on the Spanish channel,
really,
but I'd watch it live. So he would have that really... He speaks Spanish very pronunciated. So his Spanish speak is like the dubovers of Lucky Louie for me in my dreams.
Obviously overdubbed. Nice. Yeah.
Mucho bueno.
Awesome. Well, Slayer, thanks so much for calling and being part of the show. The What Show is on Friday nights over at... What's the website? It's...
The What Show.com.
What? I know that you can check it out over in the Opie fan room over on Pal Talk. I wasn't wasn't very well versed, but yeah, check it out. It's good stuff. And thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Hola.
Awesome.
Wait, hola. Doesn't that mean hello?
Just hello to someone.
Hello. I'll see you later.
Sayonara.
Awesome. It's very, very exciting. Good stuff. Slayer, by the way, is a Facebook friend of mine who I've never spoken to once in my life up until today on the show. Facebook is my favorite thing in the entire world, mind you. And I am now unbelievably obsessed with Billy Joel. Billy Joel. Billy Joel. If someone cares at all about Billy Joel in any way, shape, or form, talk to me.
You have to learn to pace yourself.
Billy Joel.
Pressure. You're just like everybody else.
Billy Joel.
Pressure.
I don't know what part of me believes that August is the fall, as I introduced that clip as a clip from last fall. It was actually from last August of 2008. On HearUsTalk.com, on the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show, my name is Keith, and coming up we have our final clip of the night, in which we discuss house guests and furry little house guests.
Well, good luck, Bri. I hope none of this happens to you on your 5-day adventure. 5 days is a long time
for house guests to be staying.
It is a long time, but, I mean, it's my brother, and...
And that would be an expensive hotel bill if your girl's going to want to put them up.
She would put them up, and, in fact, if they would prefer to, if it wouldn't be comfortable, I guess that's the kind of weird thing, is that, you know, in all honesty, they may actually prefer to be in a hotel, but it's their thought process is probably they don't want to be rude. They'd like to stay with us because I offered it. And my thought process is I don't want to be rude and offer them a hotel because now I'm kicking them out of my house. So we're probably both going to suffer opposed to putting them off in a hotel.
Right. What if they're at your house for 2 days and then they go to a hotel on their own accord?
That's
and
cool
they don't even
me.
Tell you why. That's like cool you wouldn't me. Even have a little bit
you
of like.
Feel, you wouldn't have any sort of like, what the hell? Our place isn't good enough.
I honestly wouldn't care. Fleas. I bet you my girlfriend would have that.
Yeah,
those
he did
issues.
Have fleas. He did have fleas. That's probably
Jesus. It. Let go, would you? They washed right out. Put them right in the washer. A little bleach, gone.
I would definitely change my apartment.
I'm going to say I would probably be a little – I would feel a little weird.
I'd feel weird, too.
How about this?
I'd feel a little happy, actually.
On Christmas night, the desired effect – the effect that you want would happen. But you wouldn't have any sort of thing. You're like, wait, why the hell did they just leave?
No, I really
Dude,
wouldn't care.
Put it like this. On Christmas Day – I woke up super early. I did all my cooking, cleaning, whatever, and we did. We had family over, you know, my wife's family over for Christmas, and then when we decided it was time for my daughter to go to sleep, I said the magic words of like, you know, if you don't go to sleep, Santa's not coming, and she just darted in her room like in a heartbeat, went to bed. And
are you going to use that every night?
You know, Santa's never going to come again if you don't do this. I mean, not tonight, but no,
so Santa's not going to love you anymore.
Obviously, so we went to the bedroom, put her to sleep. I come out. And my wife's entire family standing there with their jackets on, like, all right, good night. And it was like a 9:45. And it was just like, wait. I mean, like, it's cool because the thing is, dude. I could lay on my couch and drink a beer now and not have to worry about it entertaining, which is kind of cool. But, like, I didn't mean that you guys needed to leave.
No, but you feel – that was the – you know what? When we had the show at your house, the toughest thing about having the show at your house was leaving. Because it was never appropriate time to leave your house. It was always like, okay, we gotta go. And there was that look in your eyes like, you hate me. Why are you leaving so early? You've only been here for 3 hours.
Did that happen on the day when you laid on my couch for 6 hours after the show had never left?
I don't remember any of that. I black it all out.
But they thought the kid sets the rules. Like if you're setting the kid to bed, they feel like they can't talk.
But the thing
now
is, it was initiated by a member of the family saying, oh, don't you want to go to bed soon? You have to get ready for Santa.
So maybe the guy
was he was just like, yeah, come on. Get the kid in bed. Get me out. But the thing is, in my mind, I was convinced that they thought I was being rude to them, that I was throwing them out.
So what do you – I mean, aren't you excited by the prospect that they're leaving your house? Like it's 9:45. Get the hell out.
Yes, thrilled. That's what I said. Thrilled. I laid on my couch. I drank beer. I was excited.
But yet you're saying you feel kind of bad.
I felt like I might have insulted. I felt like I might have hurt some feelings.
He could still
feel not so good.
He could still enjoy it afterwards, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to feel like maybe bad at the idea that he might have driven them out.
Like it's kind of like, oh my God, this hooker's dead now. But God, it feels so good to lay in her bloody, you know, chest. You know, I mean, it's double-edged. It's there's a certain joy that comes from it, but there's a certain like, oh my God, I feel like I just really made these people. I made their day awful.
And you have to see these people again. These aren't people that you maybe do see them once or twice a year.
In-laws? No, I see them like once a week. Yeah, you know, I see them very often. And for the record, they weren't insulted at all.
Okay, that's good.
Did you say it?
I made a point the next day. Like, wait, you guys didn't think that like I was asking you to leave last night because we would have loved you guys to stay. And they were like, oh, we're tired. And also understand, as I think I've said a million times before, I've married a lovely Filipino lady. So a Filipino family is never going to be truthful to you and tell you that you were rude ever. They're just going to make you feel that you've done everything right no matter what.
Like an Italian family.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like as you're punching them in the face, it's like, oh, you know, this is so great that you're doing this. I mean, they're really just so amicable and just like, good.
Well, in their culture, that means that you love them, actually.
Yeah. And that little part, you care about what they think because you have to see these people. You care about these people. So, of course, a little bit of you is going to be, think that you did something wrong. And for Brian not to have that little bit about his brother,
and that's the thing. That's what as soon as he said that just brought that right to me. Like, wait, I felt bad because people left early. You wouldn't care if people just left your house with no explanation, saying I can't be in this environment anymore. Blows me away.
I wouldn't feel bad about it. I could see how other people would, and in fact, I'm sure my girlfriend would be a little bit insulted, and I'd have to like put out that fire for a couple days.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend, who doesn't want their fluids on your couch, would be upset that they left.
She
and wouldn't
wants
put
them to be in the hotel in the end. You know, mm. She wants them to be there. But if they left and went to the hotel, it'd be an issue. It's kind of, it's very,
it's a
very
double-edged thing. Yeah. It's the
lack of logic that all women in this world have. Is
ouch.
That what you're saying?
Ouch. No? I didn't say it.
That's what I said to my.
I never said anything of that sort. That would be inappropriate.
I guess it's just like comes down to maybe I'm just inappropriate socially or whatever, but I just,
you know,
I mean, I just like, I enjoy being alone. I enjoy being alone pretty much everything that I do. I mean, everything like there's things about it that I guess now that I'm in a relationship, I feel bad about wanting, but I prefer to actually be alone for many different things.
Why are you torturing this poor girl?
It's not like I don't like to share time with her, but there's certain things that I enjoy better than having it with another person, whether that person is the most special thing in my life or not. Like sleeping.
The most special thing in your life is your game console. Don't lie. Don't lie.
Like sleeping. I prefer to sleep alone. I enjoy sleeping alone. I actually like to sleep. I like to have the room. I don't like it when people touch me. I don't have to like rappel against somebody else being there. I don't have to sort of do the little emotional fight of having like enough room on the bed so that I can actually fall asleep and not have to like fight with the wall.
Can I ask you honestly, how much intimate time are you spending in the bed pre-sleep?
I mean, how much time does it take me to have sex? Is that what
No. I'm saying you're talking about the sleeping experience, not the sex experience. Correct?
I'm talking about sleeping.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, how much time are you guys sharing in the bed together before you're unconscious? That is such a big deal.
Okay, I guess I understand. That's the confusion. I sleep the night through when I'm alone. I go into bed and it always takes me a little while to go to sleep, but I go to sleep and I stay asleep and I wake up I get a good 8 hours in of like solid sleep if I'm sleeping alone. If I'm sleeping with someone else, it's like every 3 hours I'm waking up because like I'm a freak. I'm tweaked out. I always have like the alarm going or I don't know if I'm protecting or something or I'm just like, just broken.
That's some issues, man. Did you sleep alone? Did you always sleep with your brothers? Did you share a room when you were a little kid, bro?
When we were very, very young and poor, I had to spend time with my brother. And after we no longer had like after we separated from our own beds, I never wanted to sleep with anyone ever again. I guess that has something to do with it.
That's some psychology thing that's going on.
Are you telling me you actually don't enjoy sleeping alone? Like, there's got to be some moments when like, okay, your wife is going to be away for the weekend. Do you not revel in like, wow, I get a night where I'm going to actually sleep in bed and holy crap, I get the whole bed.
There's some enjoyment factor to it, but to say that, to hold that on such a pinnacle, to put that on such a mantle, like, holy crap, I'm going to get to be in bed alone, that's a bit much.
But you don't look forward to it? You don't look as a, like, that's maybe one of the first things that pop into my head.
I'm kind of with Brian on this.
Really?
Yeah. Hey.
See, because my wife sleeps with my daughter a lot because, you know, she's 5 and she wants mommy to sleep with her.
Oh, God, that's
yeah, and a twin
worse.
Bed, and she's now 7 months pregnant, and I'm in a twin bed.
So you've got like a third.
But it's like hit or miss when I go in the room and it's dark and I get in bed and I put my hand over to feel if she's there and I don't feel annoyed. And I can just, you know, I can fall asleep a lot better.
Yeah, you get to like stretch out and not worry about waking someone
up. Yeah, breathing on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, God forbid you freaking snore or something, goes wrong. You're gonna mess someone else up.
For the record, I got kicked full on in the leg yesterday while I was sleeping because my farts were too loud while I was sleeping that I actually woke my wife and my daughter in the next
other room
up
freaking animal
with my gas sound. So I guess I can kind of understand.
So it's not me and me being another, like, I'm broken and I can't socially function. That's an actual, like,
I don't think you don't
people
like
enjoy
up,
being alone.
Bro, you don't like waking sleeping. Up to, like, a nice warm body next to you that you could cuddle.
Oh,
like,
whose
nice
breath must smell like a sewer.
No, I don't care about that stuff.
No?
You don't what about that stuff?
I don't care about smelly breath in the morning. If that's what you're saying. Really? That doesn't bother me.
Bad breath is maybe my biggest, one of my biggest pet peeves. Wow. It's awful. I will drink your piss.
Pet peeve.
I will drink your piss, but I don't want to smell your breath. Yeah, what's wrong with a pet peeve?
Pet peeve that, like, bacteria built up in your mouth overnight while you were sleeping.
No, the smell gnarls me up. No, it's, I don't hate you for having bacteria. I hate you for making me smell your bacteria. You know, you and your petri dish in your mouth can go enjoy yourselves, have a party together. I'm saying I don't necessarily want to be a part of it. Like I said, drink your piss, but your breath, ugh.
You know, I guess there are parts about the morning that, like, if there's anything that I'm going to miss about sleeping with someone, it'll be in the morning. Because, like, that's when you're up, you've gotten through the night successfully and haven't woken up three or four times. And there you are, and you're able to kind of, like, you know, start the day together or something like that.
Totally.
So I guess 50-50. I'd prefer sometimes to, like, wake up with my girlfriend versus waking up alone, because there's really something to be said about waking up alone. I don't have to, like, do anything immediately. I can do whatever I want. I'm kind of like...
Well, what do you have to do immediately?
I don't know. You wake up and you're not doing something. It's like you're wasting time or, I don't know, in somebody else's eyes. I don't know.
So I was worry about being judged when you wake up.
Kind of, a little bit, yeah. And while I'm sleeping as well, because now I'm waking her up and, you know, that's a bad thing. I can't be comfortable.
Are you going to go for the whole separate rooms thing at some point? Are you going to, like, try to lay that out there?
Ricky and Lucy? or not even separate beds, you're saying full separate rooms?
You know, I understand that, like, that's kind of like a part of American culture that came out of our early impoverished ways. Like, it used to be normal that everyone had their own separate rooms, and you'd just go into the other person's bedchamber for sex and then go back into your own room to sleep. Yes, I would love that. That is
well,
great.
That's like a hotel when you have two double beds. You use one for the sex bed, and then you hop in and sleep in the nice bed.
Yeah, but now
bed.
You're both sleeping in the fresh bed.
Yeah.
You should. Lucy should be in one bed, and Ricky should be in the other.
But that, in Brian's hotel room, you're having sex on the floor of the bathroom, and then going to your separate bed after the fact.
No,
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Whoever starts the sex, that person goes to the other person's bed. The taker's got to sleep in the wet spot. Basically, what? Is what I'm taking.
So he who initiates gets the reward.
Exactly. To the spoils, or to the winner goes the spoils.
He is a romantic guy.
Yeah.
that's a very, very interesting concept. I would have never imagined. It's kind of sexy.
Keith, do you like sleeping?
Ever?
Yes, I do.
At least once a day.
With the chick in the same bed. Are you like a cuddler?
Oh, well, of course he is. He's like you 2 months in.
You would prefer
somebody.
Sleeping alone or sleeping with somebody?
With.
I'm going to guess that not only with, I'm going to say latched on like a papoose. Like it's, I think that there's like there's some real, like marsupial, like romance happening. Like he's hanging on, latched on forever. I'm telling you.
Marsupial romance.
Well, I don't mean it in a bad way. I think I gotta be honest. I'm jealous of that. I miss when it was an exciting, oh my God, I want to be so wrapped up. Ooh, snuggle so tight. But I think it's great.
This brings us back to earlier questions that we had about Keith. Do you think, like, the clock's ticking on that one? Is it going to be like that a year from now? Or are you going to want your own goddamn bed for the weekend? I'm just saying.
No. I was never bothered anyway by, like, the desire to sleep alone.
Really?
Yeah, I slept alone for, like, most of my life. Most of my childhood, I slept alone.
I look back at that and I kind of miss that. That's
as much as I've been trying to play the angle of, like, no, I'm cool with sleeping in the bed with someone. Cool with sleeping in the bed with someone, aside from my kicking incident from my gas 2 nights ago. I do find that on Saturday mornings when I wake up at about the same time that I would wake up to go to work, the first thing I do is I get up and say, you know, I'm a little bit tired, and I go lay down on the living room couch. Yeah. Oh, and I snuggle in that living room couch all alone.
But that's because you're in front of the TV or something.
No, to sleep. Different place. I go back to sleep. Like I said, I'll get up at, like, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm like, wait, I don't actually have to go to work. Oh, I can go put my head on the couch in the living room. Oh, this is fantastic. And I do. I love the living room couch.
But I got to tell you something. When I was a little kid, you know, I would always sleep with, like, at, like, stuffed animal age. I would always sleep with stuffed animals, and I would clutch them.
What is stuffed animal age? What is stuffed animal age?
17.
This is a burning question. I'm hoping it coincides with Smurf age. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Here's Talk Thing You Do With Years, place to be. Be a part. Join us, 877-744-6405. All that crap that you could do to talk to us. I want to know, in Keith's crazy mind, what is stuffed animal age? 33. Not a day after 33 years old.
I guess it's... Not very clear memory wise, so probably like 6, maybe 7 tops, you know?
Okay, well, according to Pristine in the Pal Talk room, there's no stuffed animal age for hetero men ever. And according to Pinky's Flammable, 4, that's it. After 4 years old, you're done. I've got to be honest, I, you know what? I think there may be a difference between girls and boys. You may have noticed. No, but I'm saying in the stuffed animal age, I could see a difference.
Those weren't Keith's stuffed animals. They were Keith's friends.
Oh, my only friends.
There's a difference.
The only ones who don't hit me.
But what? Chris, you say the living room couch. I would prefer the bed. Me and my wife are on vacation all this week, and we did not get out of bed all day today. When I came here, I got out of bed. And I came here. I love staying in the bed.
And you look at you. I know. Congratulations.
I would prefer the bed over the living room couch anytime if I'm off.
I agree.
How long are you into your wedding or into your married life?
Almost 2 years. But it's not about that.
See, now I understand.
But it's just about hanging out.
You're still a newlywed. You're a baby. When you are just like a 4-year-old clinging to that stuffed animal. It's a perfect time
7
for you.
7-year-old.
Sorry. You're just like that 32-year-old clinging to your stuffed animal. It's new.
But your wife isn't on the living room couch with you?
Hell no.
Oh, you're alone at the time.
Do you actually think another human can fit on the couch with him?
Do you think that there's a couch built that I can fit on? I spill over onto the floor while I'm there.
So it's alone. You're alone at that point.
Yeah,
that's the whole point. That's okay.
I get up in the morning and say, hey, you know what? Even though we've got this queen size bed, which we should have a king for my size, but even though we have a queen size bed that I could.
The king. Now you're the king of Best in Show Radio. All right.
I understand. It's, you know, even though there's enough room for me and my wife is a tiny, tiny little thing who takes up, like, I don't know, an inch of the bed, I get up and go into the living room and lay on the couch and enjoy a nice, fine little cramming myself into a tiny little place on the couch.
There is something, though, to forget about whether you're with someone or without someone, there is something very appealing about a couch. I always thought there was something, like, extremely appealing about sleeping on a couch instead of a bed. I don't know what it is.
It's appealing? Like really?
Yeah.
The thought of all the other asses that have been on it before you?
Yeah, you get
red eye.
I do agree that there's something about a dude laying on his couch.
There's almost something like – it's almost like the equivalent of like –
easy fun.
Like maybe like making your own little like nest to sleep in type of thing, you know? Yeah. Like
what are you doing?
It's like sleeping in an
abnormal
place.
I go outside and
collect
twigs and put them on my couch and really enjoy myself.
Like when your kid made a tent and you slept in it.
Exactly, like that bed. Like sort of that whole idea, you know? Like that's kind of the idea I get of like just sleeping on a couch as opposed to in a bed.
I think what makes the couch good is the TV that's next to it.
Well,
move
yeah, that's
that TV and that PS3 into the bedroom. Throw your couch away because you're never going to use it again.
It's 2008. You can actually really get yourself a TV for both rooms in your house, I think. I think you might be able to.
I would never go outside the bedroom. I would never leave the bedroom.
You don't have a TV in your bedroom?
No, I don't have a TV.
Oh, wow.
Let me ask you a question,
though. The size of a closet.
The whole sleeping in bed during the day and whatnot, or you want to go back in bed. See, my wife has to make the bed immediately, and you cannot take down the sheets after the bed is made.
That's
so,
a sickness.
Like, I'll go up to go to the bathroom, come back, bed's made.
Wait.
On a Saturday morning, bed's made. And that's her territory to be like, that's it, it's done.
She wants you out.
You said take down the sheets. You need to snuggle underneath the sheets to enjoy yourself in the bed? You couldn't just lay on top of that nicely pressed comforter that she put
sleep?
Out there for you?
No, to chill.
No, to have a second sleep after sleep.
I don't like hanging on top of the comforter.
Especially with the fold.
Maybe
like
it's
you
a
have
hotel
fold.
Thing. Maybe because I lived in hotels with working a lot on the road and stuff, so you never laid on the comforter. You never slept on the comforter.
But, not to take something from the DJ Newstyle show, not to take something from Germ Freak, but a man doesn't necessarily need sheets when he's in the bed. Just lay right on top of it and enjoy yourself.
I need a comforter even in the summer.
I'm the same way. I gotta have something on top of me.
Even if it's hot, the sheet isn't enough. I even need the comforter over me.
I feel like cold otherwise. Like, I don't care if I lay on top, if she did nothing else, I feel cold.
Indoor heating. You should try that. You can get
warm. No, it's not even matter. That. It could be hot as hell. Like, in the heat of summer, I still have to have a freaking blanket
it's
on top.
It's all in your head.
Because
I can't even put a clothes on. And I know this is a vision you guys all want to think of, but like me in my underwear just laying on the bed with no blanket any place near me. That's what I want my bed to be.
No, I need to. I'm with Keith. I totally understand where he's coming from.
My loincloth is too much for me to be wearing when I'm in there.
I can see Chris's wife in bed, and Chris's wife is underneath the sheets, and he's on top of the sheets, like strangling her. The sheets are like getting pulled really tight, and she's underneath the sheets like it's quicksand.
Maybe this goes back to my desire to hide. You know, like I talk about a hide like on the couch.
Do you also sleep with your cats? See, that's another big pet peeve of mine. I never grew up with animals.
Pet peeve, I get it.
But that's a good one. But I still, maybe if I was a big dog or cat
He's
owner.
He's feeling a little zinged right now. He's feeling a little zinged and he wants to punch you right in your face.
He zinged him right back. Good. I thought the zing back was good.
So if I was going to say if I'm a big dog owner, I'm like a small dog owner. I don't know about sleeping with animals, man.
See, I think it's against God's law.
I don't like it either, but I wake up and they're there. It's like they're not there in the beginning because I would kick them out.
Likely excuse.
But when I wake up, you know, I wake up with a cat like right next to my head, and I'll be pissed off. They always find you. And you can't. I don't want to lock my cats out because then they'll scratch my door all night and they'll keep me up. So I have to let them run free. But I don't like sleeping with animals either because then their ass is like all up in your
Do they like lick your head? My buddy's cat kept on like topped on your shoulders and just kind of licked your head. Like they like licking hair.
They suck cats. The oxygen out of your lungs while you're sleeping.
That's what I heard. Baby's breath, right? Your cats too, Keith? They're asleep on top of you?
Oh, yeah. They'll all be sometimes not.
Are they lickers as well?
Yeah, they tend to get their lick on it.
Yeah, they're licking their asses when you're not looking at them.
And you got a dog,
Gigs? Right?
No, I don't have a dog.
Almost
had a dog.
That's right, you almost had a dog.
I'm thinking about getting a dog.
Sleeping with dog, not in bed, acceptable. Like on the living room floor, acceptable. Using your dog.
A couch?
Not even on the couch. Laying on the floor, using your dog as a pillow. Acceptable. Sleeping with a cat any place, not acceptable. Either animal in your bed, not acceptable. Disgusting. Disgrats. Ugh. Filthy.
Harder to keep cats out of the bed, though. Because they tend to jump up in the corner. You don't even know they're there at the bottom of the bed.
Newspaper.
How about I've been woken up by my filthy, disgusting cat.
Oh, Pepper, I love him.
What?
I love Pepper.
Who's Pepper? I never had a cat named Pepper.
That wasn't your cat's name?
Tonic was my cat's name.
Oh,
Jim
I thought it was
Tonic.
Pepper.
They were special friends.
Oh, I hated that cat.
Son of a bitch, I know. But I've been woken up by Pepper in the middle of the night by him pissing on my feet in my bed.
Give me some of his salt.
He had a clean litter box.
In your bed?
And the son of a bitch, no, not even in the bed.
On him.
On my feet.
On his person.
And granted, I might not have the most pleasant aromas coming from all parts of my body, but my feet don't stink.
No.
That they my feet do not stink.
No,
that they
of course they don't.
That they, not that they deserve cat piss.
They induced peeing. They stunk so bad that they induced someone to pee.
Maybe he was mocking you. He was claiming you.
9 times out of 10, I would love to induce pee.
It's territory.
But, yeah, pissing on my feet while I'm sleeping?
He must have smelled your other cat.
I didn't have, no. This is when the other cat was gone. I was down to one cat. It wasn't when I was running a little zoo that I had 14 cats running around my house because I was filthy and stupid and
hot. So you
hot.
Don't like people pissing on your feet, Chris?
No. Not I said, animals. No, people's good, a different story. Like I said, 9 times out of 10, I'm with that.
So when you woke up the next morning, did you clean it up?
No, I woke up when there was a hot stream hitting me. I was like, you son of a bitch, it's on the mattress.
What'd
now.
You do? Did you kick it? You can tell us. Did you kick it?
I started freaking out and ran, and I grabbed it. I definitely grabbed it violently.
Did you pee on it?
And I said, this is what you just did to me. Just on its feet, though.
A pause.
I'm a devout Christian, and I follow the Bible, and I'm eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I peed right on his little feet.
You grabbed him. Did you throw him? Did you hit him?
I had to knock him out, so he was asleep.
I grabbed him violently. I grabbed him violently, but I did not hit him.
By the throat?
No, like kind of like by his ribs, I guess.
So you punched him. You gave him a
Give him a jam.
I just grabbed him and held him, and I banged
you
him.
Collapsed
up
his ribcage.
And I banged him up against the wall.
Oh, yeah, that's
a little. No, I'm not suggesting I was good. I was pissed on.
You were pissed off.
Pissed off, like.
Well, oh God. Cat killer.
God rest his soul. Right? God rest his precious pissy soul. He's a good little guy.
You have to have a horror story like that, Keith.
About cats?
About your cat peeing. You had your cats for a long
time.
I've
never had problems with cat pee.
Your cat never pissed on anything?
These current cats I have? No.
Any cats you've ever owned? Have they ever pissed on anything?
I had a cat that I... My favorite cat ever. He's no longer with us.
Pissy?
Yes. But he... I had an entire collection. I used to collect Musician magazine in the 80s. And I had like this entire collection of them, and one day I was like, wait, what does that smell? He just went in the closet and just pissed on all of them.
Oh,
he's claiming them.
How about that same cat that pissed on my feet? Pissed in my work bag. I had a messenger's bag, but it was leather.
Jesus,
didn't know. Brian at the company we used to work at together. I
touched that bag.
I threw it out afterwards. It was before you started working there. But I got into work and took my bag off and just like, what the hell's that smell?
There's nothing worse in the world than the smell of cat piss.
And I was sharing a small office with another man at the time saying, wait, what the hell's that smell?
Half a man.
And I'm looking around and find a little pool of sweet, sweet cat urine at the bottom of my little bag.
People love their animals, dude. And, like, you don't get rid of these animals when they do it. It's just commonplace. They just do it. You got to clean it up, and that's it, right?
Oops. Yeah, that's why we shouldn't have them.
I saw this documentary. It was called Cat Dancers.
Kill the animals.
It was called Cat Dancers. And it was about this guy and this girl, Ron and Joy Holiday. And they were these two dancers in, like, the 50s. And they would ballet dance and do all this stuff. Like vaudeville type stuff. And then they started getting big cats into their act. Like
tigers?
Like tigers and panthers, jaguars.
Dinosaurs?
Did Keith lend you this?
And no, it was on HBO. It's actually on HBO On Demand now. You should check it out. And as soon as Ron Holiday came on, I knew there was something weird about him. My gaydar went off a little. My wife was like, shut up. He's not gay. Look at him. He's with this hot chick. And a couple of years as they're doing the act with the tigers, they get someone else in the act, this guy named Chuck. And it turns out that they had this love triangle. Ron Holiday.
And the cat.
Joy Holiday. And Chuck had this, like, three-way going on. They would wear these necklaces around their neck with, like, three wedding rings. And they were, like, melded together.
Oh, it was like the Vanessa thing.
It was totally like
the
that.
The Vanessa thing.
All shared each other. And it was, like, this thing. But it never came out. But everybody knew that's what they were doing. Mm. And late into the career, maybe in the 80s, they got this white Bengal tiger. You know, like Siegfried and Roy have these white Bengal tigers. And the white Bengal tiger grows up and winds up killing Chuck, the guy. And Joy and Ron still keep this tiger around. Like, the tiger accidentally killed this guy.
What do you mean by accidentally?
By
biting, wouldn't it bit its head off? It was an accidental death?
Well, oops. Chuck was taking it from its one cage to another cage, and he tripped on, like, a fence. And as he tripped, the tiger got scared and bit him. And as he bit him, all four of his claws went into his neck. Oof. And the tiger started crying and sat down next to him.
Tigers don't cry.
You'll
stop.
Hear.
You and animals don't cry. Animals don't cry.
They cry. No. Of course they do. They cry. My cat cries all the time. Animals cry.
You don't believe animals cry. I don't get me wrong. I don't think that people should have animals in their house. But you think that animals don't cry?
No, I don't think that I don't think that that the animal has that tiger has tear ducts that are manufacturing tears and he's crying emotionally about the death of the person he just mauled.
Tear ducts and sadness and lament and wailing don't necessarily have to coincide. You don't think that a cat could have an emotion?
Not like what we call an emotion, no. I think he can be afraid. I think he can hunger.
You don't think he could be sad? You don't think it could be...
He can be cold. He can feel pain.
You've never seen animals care for other animals and take care of each other?
Yes, yes. I don't think that's emotionally driven at all.
What do you mean?
I think that's... You know, that's... Yeah.
for when example, when it's, like, when it's a species other than their own, like when a dog gets taken care of by monkeys.
I think if you're thinking, instinct. I think if you're thinking that one cat loves this other cat, you're anthropomorphizing the concept of what people do for each other, and you're saying,
I don't know what that is, but if it's good, yes,
you're making,
I did it.
You're
that SAT word.
You're making in your mind, you're giving the cat human features that it doesn't have. No, cat does not have does not have the nature to process emotions like we do.
Let's point something out. Norcal Murph is saying in the Pal Talk Room, cats actually do have an emotion, but there's only one, evilness.
Well, I guess they didn't get rid of the cat. They didn't kill the cat, and they kept this cat after
it
killed Chuck.
Is the cat wearing a third ring now?
The cat wasn't wearing the third ring. And so a couple of months went by, and Joy got really depressed that Chuck was gone because she was stuck with Ron.
So she punched the cat, and the cat bit her head off too.
So Joy comes out one day after being depressed, and Ron brings out all the cats, and all the cats are, like, greeting her and everything. And then she brings out the last cat, the Bengal tiger that killed Chuck. And let me I guess
oh
Ron's,
God, going, you have audio.
Ron's going to explain Ooh. What he saw when Joy came out.
Oh, you're the best.
6 feet in the air, and her body bounced.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait up.
Her body bounced.
Hold
oh,
up.
God, no.
Hold up. You ready?
He threw her 6 feet in the air, and her body bounced on the floor, and all her throat was gone. And her blood splashed in my face, and all I could see was red, like wearing red sunglasses. And I went, Jupiter, what did you do to Mom? And he started crying. He started going, uff, 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 uff. And at that moment, honest to God, at that moment, I knew, my God, Jupiter, you're inbred. You're inbred.
What?
So I guess he blames the cats killing the two humans on the cat being inbred and the cat not having, I guess, cat instincts because he killed Joy and then the cat wound up being shot by the police.
He's such a killjoy.
So he's a two-time killer and a killjoy at the same time.
Actually, he's a three-time killer because at the end of the documentary, the place where he's holding all his cats, they had to move and he had to put all his cats to sleep because he had nowhere to put the cats anymore.
The cat must have felt sad.
I'm saying the cat that killed. The Bengal tiger that killed twice.
Killed twice.
Son of a bitch.
5 weeks after. Killed Chuck 5 weeks after. Killed his other lover.
Congratulations.
Oh my God. And look, cats do cry. If you heard Ron.
Well, he sounds like a sensible gentleman.
That's a cat crying.
I think it was about to eat him.
Do you know every time a cat cries, an angel gets its wings, and one baby dies? I think it's a fair trade-off. It's like a triangle of a very – it's very important. It's the cycle of life.
I think the cat was just cold from that noise.
I love this.
I hate sleeping on top
My
of the sheets.
God, you're inbred. You're inbred.
I'll freaking eat you too when I warm up.
Or you're a tiger, one or the other.
My new ringtone.
If you ever see a cat do that, Bri, it's crying.
Yeah, run.
If you ever see it, so sad,
it might eat you.
If you ever see a Bengal tiger going, then look out.
But it's amazing what pet owners will do. Like a pet owner, like
that's a Bengal tiger doing germ freak.
Like this guy loved this tiger so much that it killed one of his lovers, and he still kept the damn cat. It didn't pee on his luggage. It didn't eat up a shoe. Yeah. It actually killed someone that he loved, and he still kept.
Allow me to say that Pepper, who peed on my feet and my luggage, he got shipped off with a friend of ours, and I sent it to California with a friend of ours.
Farm in California.
And I'm done with him. If he would have eaten, maybe you could have saved me some problems if you killed someone. I'm just saying.
Well, watch it. Cat Dancers. Awesome documentary. Watch it, HBO.
Hold me closer, catty dancer.
I was at Cat Dances the other night. I felt funny, though. I had no singles. I mean, I wasn't giving five.
Whatever. Get a lap dance. You go into the back room, you get a lap dance at Cat Dances. It's nice.
I haven't been to a strip joint in forever, dude.
Why would you?
I'm just not a stripper, strip joint kind
of
guy.
I'm going to say because of the naked girls. That's just my – that's what I would think would be the
food. There's computers and TVs.
The food, actually. There's nothing more delicious than a strip bar buffet. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Ears Talk. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
That's it, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the Best in Show Radio Monday Night Clip Show. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, it's the DJ New Style Show live at 9 p.m. Best in Show Radio is live Thursday at 8 p.m. And the What Show is live Friday at 9:30 p.m. on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
It makes you sorry, still you don't regret a single day. Ah, girl, girl, girl. When I think of all the times I've tried so hard to leave her, she will turn to me and start to cry. And she promises the earth to me, I believe her. After all this time, I don't know why. Ah, girl, girl, girl. She's the kind of girl who puts you down when friends are there. You feel a fool when you say she's looking good. She acts as if it's understood she's cool. Ooh, 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 girl. Girl, girl. Was she told when she was young that pain would lead to pleasure? Did she understand it when they said that a man must break his back? She still